As we consider the three readings in the liturgy today, the message that comes through loudly and clearly is that we must care for one another. In the first reading from Jeremiah, the prophet scolds the leaders of Israel by being more concerned about politics and the things of God. The kings, who were supposed to be God's anointed representatives, betrayed him and his people. And the prophet speaks for God when he says, "Woe to those shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." He uses that very common shepherd-sheep imagery, which everyone who heard him well understood. His hearers were well aware that the work of a shepherd, how he understood his sheep and cared for them and guided them to the best pastures and freshest streams, how he would protect them from impending dangers from animals and thieves. A good shepherd cares for his sheep, and the leaders of Israel, Jeremiah says, should in like manner be caring for the people of God. And then St. Paul in the second reading describes his Ephesian converts what Jesus came to do. He came to bring peace. He came to break down barriers of hostility that keep people apart. He came to be a messenger of reconciliation. And again, this passage is telling us that we must care for each other, so as never to set up barriers of hostility between one another, so as never to break the peace that is really the gift of the Holy Spirit by quarreling or any kind of dissension. So rather, we Christians must be noted for our mercy and our forgiveness of one another. The gospel passage recounts how the apostles returned to Jesus and described to them their missionary experiences. And when Jesus heard about their preaching and all the good things they did for people, the care for the sick, he suggested that they come away to a quiet place and rest a while. He showed a beautiful concern for his apostles. He really cared about them. And then St. Mark relates how Jesus turned to his attention to the crowd of people who were looking for him. He described how they were coming and going in great numbers and had not even an opportunity to eat. They were like sheep, he said, without a shepherd. And so Jesus dropped everything to help them, even though he was tired himself. He had compassion for them, and he cared for them. If you and I were to look at people with the eyes of Jesus, what do you think we would see? Well, for one thing, I think we would see some invisible burdens. Most people do not carry their troubles and heartaches and problems in plain view. They bear them quietly and bravely, but they are there nonetheless. There's a simple poem that was written by someone who really tried to see with the eyes of Jesus. And he wrote, "Pray, don't find fault with the man who limps and stumbles along the road, unless you have worn the shoes he wears and struggle beneath his load. There may be tacks in his shoes that hurt, though hidden away from view, and the load he bears on your back might cause you to stumble too." Looking at Jesus through the eyes of Jesus, we might see some extenuating circumstances. The critics of Jesus thought he was much too lenient in his attitude towards sinners. One day he came upon the defense of a woman who had been caught in adultery. "How could he do that? How could he defend her?" The Pharisees complained, when the law of Moses clearly states that she should be stoned. Jesus said to a dying thief on the cross next to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." How could he say such a thing? What right did a crucified felon have to a place in paradise. The difference between Jesus and his critics was a matter of insight. They saw nothing but the failure. He saw the pain and the problems that played a part in that failure. He saw the remorse and the regret and the repentance in the heart of that sinner. Looking at people through the eyes of Jesus, we might also see some unrealized possibilities. Someone once said that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. And Jesus would agree very heartily with that. With his eyes beyond all the burdens and failures like Jesus, we too might see some unrealized possibilities. But what then does it mean to be a sheep without a shepherd? A sheep without a shepherd cannot find the way. If you know anything about sheep, you know they have very poor eyesight, and they can nibble themselves away from the flock very easily. Left to ourselves, we get lost in life. So there are so many voices seeking our attention. Sometimes life can be so bewildering. We can stand at the crossroads and not know which way to go. It's only when Jesus leads and we follow that we can find the way. A sheep without a shepherd cannot find its pasture or its food. We need nourishment too, and we need strength to keep on our journey to the kingdom. We need inspiration to lift us out of ourselves and above ourselves. But when we seek that inspiration elsewhere than in Jesus, our minds are still unsatisfied, our hearts are still restless, and our souls are still unfed. We can gain strength for life only from him who is the living bread come down from heaven. A sheep without a shepherd has no defense against dangers that threaten it. It can defend itself neither from robbers nor from wild beasts. And if life has taught us one thing, it must be that we cannot do it alone either. We cannot defend ourselves from temptations that assail us, nor from evil to which the world attracts us. Only in the company of Jesus can we walk in the world and keep ourselves unspotted from it. But we are not a sheep without a shepherd, because Jesus is always with us, always shepherding us, always caring for us. He knows all of our needs, is ready and willing to supply them. Come to me, he says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will refresh you. Jesus is like that shepherd in the gospel who leaves the 99 sheep in the desert to search out the one stray. Each one is loved and cared for as if it were the only one. And his joy then at the recovery of that single sinner is like the joy of the shepherd who finds that stray. And finally, Jesus, like the good shepherd, has laid down his life for us. The Father, he says, loves me for this, that I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. So in the divine plan, the divine providence, we could not have the divine life in our souls or salvation except at that great price. Except at that extravagant expression of loving and caring. So after all is said and done, we are left with his final commandment, his last will and testament spoken on the night before he died. Love and care for one another as I love and care for you.